On the last show, we defined mental health and what makes someone mentally healthy. We talked about it being more than just the absence of illness, but also the presence of balance and stability. This show, we will be talking about a report produced in November of 2017 regarding some of the disparities and issues surrounding mental health in the Black community. While I don't agree with most comparisons being used for serious strategic planning, they do serve the purpose of providing context to numbers when context is needed. As we continue on into Mental Health Awareness Month, we continue to hope that you will take everything you're getting from the network and start a conversation around mental health in your circles. Conversations that spark action and changes to the world around you in a positive way. From the screen is back, presenting these facts with a little love being laid on top of that. And in August on the Freedom Train Network, we talking mental health because it needs work. Everybody ready to move whenever their body hurts, but when their mind is broken, they don't even drink. I guess it's crazy to make sure that you're not, and that's why we talking about this here right now. And I welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any piece of information you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. And Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PAX Inc., a Black activist, advocacy, and think tank with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through education and a culture shift in economics. You can check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's PAXinc.org, where you can leave a review, leave a comment, get engaged in the Learning Center, learn some things, volunteer your time, your services, leave a donation, do whatever you can to help them because they're doing whatever they can to help you. In this show, as I said earlier, we're going to be talking about this report produced in November of 2017 by the American Psychiatric Association, and the title of the report is Mental Health Disparities, African Americans. Now, this is a report that looked at the disparities between the Black community and the larger national averages with regards to mental health. It makes some pretty interesting claims that shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone following mental health trends in the Black community, but it should be an alarm bell for everyone. And it starts out by reminding us that Black people are roughly 13% of the population in America. And even with that being said, we're nearly three times more likely to live in poverty, with 30% of Black people living in poverty compared to roughly 10% of non-Hispanic whites. It goes on to point out that roughly 30% of Black households are headed by women with no husband presented compared to 19% of white households. And it also points out that Black people are more likely to be uninsured and that Black people have a higher death rate for most diseases than white folk. While also pointing out the fact that the CDC estimates that Black people represent more than one-third of all people living with HIV and nearly half of all those newly diagnosed in 2015. Now, that's something that we talked about on the Freedom Train podcast series, myself and Joseph Ward, when we had the sex and AIDS HIV conversation. I believe it was a month ago, last month sometime. But those numbers are very serious in terms of HIV and STDs in general, and we definitely need to get on top of those and stay on top of those. Now, going back to this report, it says that the rates of mental illness in the Black community are similar to those in the general population, though disparities exist in the mental health services provided. Black people receive poor quality care and have nearly zero access to culturally competent care. Only one in three Black people who need mental health care receives it. It also says that the rate of illicit drug use among Black people is slightly higher than the national average. Meanwhile, the rate of alcohol use is slightly lower, and the rate of opioid overdose is less than half of that for whites. Now, the reason that I think that our rate of opioid overdose is less than half is because Black people don't get the same amount, the same quality of care and treatment. And we definitely don't get prescribed the same quality of drugs that white people get prescribed. More often than not, we're seen as if we are exaggerating our pain or exaggerating our symptoms. And so doctors they have not been describing or prescribing us the same medications in the same quantities that they have been prescribing white patients, who they take on their word when they say something hurts. They take them at their word that it hurts, and they give them an appropriate medication from their medical professional expertise of what would make that pain more bearable. Whereas with a black person, if they say something hurts, the assumption is that we're lying or we're exaggerating the truth to get drugs or to get whatever. So that plays a part in that. And even in looking at the current opioid epidemic that still isn't ended, it's still going on, even though it's taking a backseat in the news, I believe that that disparity in care is something that has actually protected the black community from what's going on right now. We obviously can't say that we don't have the same susceptibility to opioids, because we were a part of a very nasty and somewhat ongoing heroin problem. So we have those same susceptibilities, but we've been spared from this medical issue because white doctors have not been, well, not even just white doctors, doctors, period, have been less likely to prescribe medications to us to help us with our pain. And even to that, going back up earlier where I talked about how the report said that mental health illnesses in the black community are similar to those in the general population, that comes with an asterisk next to it, because, and as is pointed out later on in the report, there is not as much research done involving black people, and there aren't as many studies done involving black people and how these mental health illnesses manifest themselves in the black community, and what might be happening in the black community that is separate and unique from anything happening in other communities because of our historical past in this country and our cultural differences with other cultural groups in this country. So all of that is to be kept in mind, and so that line is read with a caveat, and the opioid line is also read with that same caveat of racism playing a part in both of those things being the way they are. Although the report does allude to the fact that racism plays a part in all of these things being the way they are. So going back to the report, it says that black people are less likely to receive guideline consistent care, less frequently included in research, and more likely to use emergency rooms or primary care rather than mental health specialists. And a lot of that as well, and it's mentioned in the report, but a lot of that also has to do with the distrust that black people have for the medical establishment. And that distrust is something that's understandable when you consider the history of the medical establishment in the black community here in America. There's been a history of just foul play, just bad treatment, whether it be people being unknowingly sterilized or whether it be people being given diseases and not treated so that they could see how the disease progresses. There's just been a very nasty history involving the medical establishment and black people. That history is almost as bad as the history of black people and the police. And we know that we don't trust the police. So that's also a caveat with that. But it also points out that black people are less likely to be, and this goes back to what I was saying earlier, black people are less likely to be offered evidence-based medication therapy or psychotherapy, more frequently diagnosed with schizophrenia, and less frequently diagnosed with mood disorders. And it says that those differences might be because there's a difference in how African Americans express symptoms of emotional distress. So we're misdiagnosed because they aren't familiar with us and they don't have enough cultural understanding to understand the messages and the expressions that we're conveying. So, and that might be my next show during this Mental Health Awareness Month, is just breaking down the differences between mood disorders, schizophrenia, depression, and all these other things, because that's something else, now that I'm thinking about it, that doesn't happen very often when we have these discussions. Very seldom are things really broken down in terms of, well, this is this and that is that, and this is how you differentiate between the two. But moving forward, It even says that physician-patient communication differs for blacks and whites, with one study finding that physicians were 23% more verbally dominant and 33% less engaged in patient-centered communication with dealing with black patients. Now, what that's basically saying is that when physicians are dealing with black patients, they talk more and listen less. And if you have a doctor that's talking more and listening less, he's not really understanding what you're saying. He's not really being open to everything that you're trying to express to him. And that increases the chances of a misdiagnosis or no diagnosis when there should be one, which in my opinion is a misdiagnosis. So that creates lots of energies or lots of issues. I'm sorry. It goes on to say that black people with mental health conditions are more likely to be incarcerated than other races. So again, reading back through these points or listening back to these points, if you choose to go back and do so, you'll see that there isn't a lot in this report that is new information. This is stuff that for a good chunk of black people is almost common knowledge level stuff. The problem is that even though we know that these problems and these issues exist, we aren't doing a whole lot to change them. And there's still that stigma there that black people are strong enough to deal with our issues, and that has to be overcome as well. So there are a couple takeaways from this particular report. One is the denial of claims. And this report makes a brief mention of the fact that when some black patients go in to see their doctors about issues that they might be having, mental health issues they might be having, it seems to be more likely than it is with other groups that the doctor will dismiss the patient as not having anything wrong with them, not taking their claim serious, which creates a whole host of other problems for the person, especially if they have legitimate issues and they aren't given treatment to help with those issues. Not only do those issues get worse, but you create a level of distrust, and you also create more mental stress for that person. There's also a difference in treatment, as was pointed out earlier, difference in medications provided, and a lack of understanding of black culture. Now, all of these things come together to add stress, which increases the mental stress load on black people, pushing some people over the edge and making others worse, while making all of us uncomfortable and apprehensive about coming forward, period. We already have to deal with the stigma in our own communities. Now, when we go to speak to mental health our medical professionals, we have to deal with an additional stigma in their community in terms of treating us or giving us access to the proper avenues to receive the proper treatment. And even in that, there becomes a dearth or a lack of knowledge, even present, to where people don't even know where to go to get proper treatment. That's why you have so many people utilizing their primary care physicians instead of calling up a mental health specialist or getting a recommendation or getting a written form so that they can go and get that specialized treatment that they might need. Even the idea of getting our mentality, getting ourselves mentally looked at by a mental health specialist is something that for a lot of us raises a lot of questions and a lot of uncertainty about what's going on, because it's still a relatively new thing for us to be talking about mental health issues the way we are, because for the longest that was the realm of white people. White folk go crazy, not black folk. And now we have to acknowledge the fact that we do have these same mental health illnesses that white folk have, and we have some additional stressors that white folk don't have to deal with that manifest themselves in more dangerous ways, more self-destructive ways as we go about our daily lives and as we interact with others, which increases the mental stress load. We already deal with racism, which, according to a study by Harvard, cuts 7 years off of the lifespan of every black person. But we have to deal with several other issues as well that adds even more stress onto our plates when you're talking about all of the other issues that come underneath that banner of racism and that banner of oppression that we have to contend with on a daily basis in conjunction with the everyday stresses that everyone has to contend with. So I say all that to say this. One of the primary problems we're having in the mental health industry, the mental health field, as is pointed out by this report, is the lack of culturally competent and understanding mental health care facility specialists. Mental health care facilities and specialists. We need more Black people going into the mental health field, and not any Black people. We need Black people that understand the Black experience in America. We don't need Black people that are going to go into the mental health field, soak up everything they can soak up from the white mental health establishment, and then come back to their community and act like Black culture doesn't exist. Or act like Black people aren't a different group of people than those people that you've been educated to provide services for. And to that, we need more organizations providing services, providing that training to create Black mental health specialists that are culturally competent, culturally aware. Groups like the ABPSI, the Association of Black Psychologists, doing what they're doing out there, and groups like other groups out there that are doing it. And I harp on them because, again, just yesterday we released the podcast of Dr. Huberta Jackson Lohman, who is the president of the ABPSI. So we need more of that, and we need more people getting involved. And just go and check the report out for yourself. It's only 4 pages long. It's not that long. And I'm not going to harp on anything because I feel like everything that I would say about this is things that have been said before. But in keeping with the discussion, in keeping with the theme of the month of mental health awareness, we need to be having more serious conversations about mental health. We need to be having more serious conversations about increasing the amount, the quality, and the access to mental health professionals and mental health are people that are going to go into the field to become mental health professionals. And we just overall need to step our game up. You can't, mental health is tied to physical health. If your mind is broken, your body will follow. We cannot do what we need to do in terms of uplifting ourselves or pulling ourselves up by our bootstrap, as many people seem to want to ascribe to that belief. We can't do that if we're too crazy to realize that we got to put boots on first. So with that being said, again, I encourage you to have these conversations with your friends and your family. I encourage you to have these conversations on social media. Throw these stats up. Have these conversations. Dig it out. And once you have the conversations, make sure the conversations are centered towards some sort of action that can be taken to improve what's going on in the Black community, to improve to reduce the negative stigmatization that is attached to mental health, to improve the comfortability of people that need or want or are currently going through mental health situations that cause more people to take a deeper look at their own mental health, their own psychology, to cause people to overall encourage others to go and get looked at, checked out, whether or not there's anything wrong with you. That's irregardless. Because again, as we said last week, just because you don't have a mental illness does not mean that you're mentally healthy. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next week on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen. Lessons from the Screen is back, presenting these facts with a little of PLA on top of that. And in August on the Freedom Train Network, we talking mental health because it needs work. Everybody ready to move whenever their body hurt, but when their mind is broken, they don't even drink. I guess it's crazy to make sure that you're not, and that's why we talking about this here right now. And I... Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PaxInc through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us on www.freedomtrainradio.com or on iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher. Be sure to head to one of those places and leave us a review, and then be sure to head back to the website to let us know what you think about the show and communicate with us. Also, be sure to head to www.paxinc.org and show some love and support for our sponsors. PaxInc is doing big things in the community and trying to do more, always trying to do more. So be sure to head to the website. That's www.paxinc.org. Donate, volunteer, become a member, talk about it, whatever. They can use your support. And once again, they are doing great things in the community. And as always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the Black community. The things that we look at whether it be on the Trending Tuesday or the regular Lessons from the Screen show, will always be looked at from the Black perspective. So keep that in mind, because we need more minds shaped into that perspective and trying to do things that we need done for ourselves. So with that in mind, again, thank you guys for listening in. Remember to tune in to the Freedom Train Radio. We have the app that's available that you can get from the website. It's in the Google Play Store. Sorry, it's not available on iTunes yet. We have the live internet radio, and we have more shows coming up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will see you guys for the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.